Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Yehoshua. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And I hope to conclude Parakhes, to conclude Chapter 8 today. We've now completed the battle with Ai. That's all over. And then the last six sentences in Chapter 8 give us a different story altogether. You may remember from Devarim chapter 11, as well as Devarim chapter 27. In Devarim it's 11, 29, and 30, and in Devarim it's chapter 27, the beginning, Psukim Aleph to Yadalad, sentences 1 to 14, that when the Jews enter Israel, they are supposed to go to mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Eval. They're supposed to recite blessings and curses, re-accepting the covenant with Hashem. They're supposed to set up a Mizbeach, an altar, and bring Karbanos. They're supposed to write the Torah down on stones. So we talked about this earlier on when they took the stones out of the Yarden. Here we finally see the event take place, but we'll have to discuss exactly when it happened. First point, though, why are they doing this? What's this business of writing the Torah on stones? So Barbanel has a fascinating comment. He says, "Va'omar bazeh shahaya min ha'kodum bein ha'umos kulam." He says, there was an ancient practice among all the nations. Shekol am o melech sheyelech lichbosh eretz acheres miyank sheyavor eleha yakim avanim gedolo zu lamala mizu litziyun v'siman sha'avru shama v'lakhu osa. He says, when any nation, any king went to conquer a new land, so immediately they would set up large stones, one above the other, and make a monument and a sign. We were here, we took this. Of course, remember, Abarbanel lives in the age of the explorers. So this really resonates for him. V'yichtivu od al osam ha'avanim shebishnas kach v'kach b'shama ha'melech ha'godol ploni im ha'am ploni lichbosh es ha'aretz hazos. And he says they would write on the stones that in such and such a year the people came from this country, this king, and they came to conquer this land. V'hine b'chol arzos Italia v'gam b'sfarad, he says, in Italy and in Spain, kol makom asher darchu bo raglei ha'romiyim b'zman gedulasam u'ma'alasam, everywhere the Romans walked in the days of their power, timtza'od hayom tziyunim rabim asu akadmonim b'zeh ha'derech, you can find the marks, the monuments that they made. So he says that's what's happening here, but with a twist. Takimu es ha'avanim ha'ele asher anochi mitzaveh eschem hayom b'har eval. Hashem says, establish these stones that I am commanding you to do. Rotza lomar, meaning bipa'as heyoso mitzvah. Hashem is saying, do this because it's a mitzvah. He's co-opting this secular practice of chest thumping for a religious purpose. And that's why you see the religious elements of what they're doing here, meaning they're not only making a monument, they're making a mizbeach, they're making an altar. They're not supposed to put iron on it because the iron represents the sword, and we're following the rules of creating a mizbeach, an altar for Hashem. This isn't about your military. You bring karban shlamim, you bring sacrifices to God to celebrate, and you record the Torah on these stones. So you're taking what was a secular practice of, look how mighty I am, and you're turning it into a religious event. That's the idea. So when exactly does this happen? That's a really good question. Rashi, following along the lines of Tosefta in Sota Perekhes and the Gemara in Sota Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, says this is actually right after they crossed the Yarden. We mentioned this back in chapter 3, chapter 4, when they took the stones out of the Yarden. The Gemara in Sota Lamed Vav says, Kama nisim nasu ba'oso ayom. There were so many miracles that happened that day. They crossed the Yarden with all the miracles associated with the splitting of the Yarden and possibly the Aron carrying its carriers across the Yarden. They then traveled more than 60 mil, roughly 60 kilometers, to get to Har Gerizim and to Har Eval. And they set up the stones and they built a Mizbeach and they lined it with lime and they wrote the Torah on it. All of this happened then, and then they brought their karbanos and they did the brachos and the klalos, and then they took the lime off of the stones and they came and slept in Gilgal. All of that happened that day, according to the Gemara in Sota, and it's miraculous. So that's one approach. Abarbanel and Malbim say no. They say this happened exactly when it seems to have happened in the text, which is to say after the war with Ai. That's when it happened. Now, what's driving the Gemara in Sota is that the Jews were told, do this when you cross the Yarden. So why in the world would they have waited and had their 7 days and their battle with Yericho and then their battle with Ai and only afterwards taken care of this? So that's what's driving the Gemara. The problem with the Gemara is, then why did you transplant it to be after the war with Ai? It's very strange. We had other things that we talked about before, before Yericho. In chapter 5, they did a Karban Pesach, they did a Bris Milah. Like, why are we now pushing this here? On the other hand, what's Malbim going to do with Moshe saying, do this when you cross? So the Malbim's answer will be what's found in the Yerushalmi in Sota, which is the command was to set up the stones right away, but not that the whole ritual had to be immediate. Okay. I'm told in Josephus in Antiquities, Book 5, he actually placed, I didn't look to double check it, but that he places this event with the blessings and curses and so on after the 7 years of battle with Canaan, but before the division of the land to the Shvatim, to the tribes. And then the latest date that we find is actually in the Yerushalmi that I just mentioned, Yerushalmi Sota, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, where we find the view of Rabbi Yishmael, who says that this was actually after 14 years, the blessings and the curses. They set up the stones right away, but the brachos and klalos were actually at the very, very end, after 14 years. Again, it's odd, because then why is it written here? But that's another possibility. Okay, so now we know what they're doing, right? They're setting up the Mizbeach, they're setting up the stones that they write the Torah on, they do the blessings and the curses, all described in Devarim chapter 11 and chapter 27. We know different options for when it was done. Let's see the psukim themselves. Let's see the text itself. So we're looking at Perechas, chapter 8, sentence 30. Az Yivne Yehoshua Mizbeach L'Hashem Elokei Yisrael Bahar Eval. Then Yehoshua built an altar. Don't get hung up on Yivne Bana. Yivne connotes that he is building. He, at this point, Yehoshua was building a Mizbeach for Hashem, God of Israel, Bahar Eval, on Mount Eval. Professor Kiel in the Dot Mikra says this is north of Shechem, which is very interesting. The idea that it's not far from Shechem is fascinating, because because Shechem is where Yosef was sold, right? We just learned Parshas Vayeshev on Shabbos. Shechem was where Yosef was taken from, and they left, right? That's it. That's what causes ultimately the Jews to go down to Egypt. So now you're coming all the way back, right? And now you're in Shechem with your blessings and curses signifying the new society that you are creating in Israel. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, sentence 31. Kasher tziva Moshe eved Hashem es bnei Yisrael, as Moshe, servant of God, commanded the Jews, kakasuv b'sefer Torah Moshe, as is recorded in the book of the Torah of Moshe, mizbach avanim shleimos, to make an altar of whole stones, asher lohe nifalehen barzel, you don't raise iron upon them, v'ya'alu alav olos l'Hashem v'yizbechu shlamim, and they brought olos, burnt offerings, and they brought shlamim, celebratory offerings to Hashem. And then Pasuk Lamed Beis, sentence 32, Vayichtov Sham Al Ha'avanim Eis Mishnei Taras Moshe Asher Kasav Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. They wrote on the stones Mishnei Taras Moshe. What is Mishnei Taras Moshe? That's not the same thing as Taras Moshe. What exactly are they writing? So Mitzudas David, or David Altshuler, actually says it's Dvarim, which we call Mishnah Torah. It is a summary of the Torah, a second appearance of the Torah. Radak brings two explanations. One explanation is that it's actually Torah and its meaning, the Torah and its explanation, or he quotes Usajigon that it's some of the mitzvos of the Torah that are being written, but not that it's the entire Torah. Okay, there's more to discuss about this at some point, but let's get to Pasuk Lamed Gimel, sentence 33. V'chol Yisrael, and all Israel, uzkeinav, and its elders, v'shotrim, and its officers, v'shofetav, and its judges, omdim mizeh umizeh la'aron, they're standing on either side of the Aron, neged ha-kohanim ha-leviyim nosei Aron bris Hashem, opposite, what sounds like, the kohanim the leviyim, carriers of the Aron of the covenant of God, Kager ka ezrach, like the stranger, like the citizen, those who, ger is usually a ger toshav, a non-Jew has accepted the seven mitzvos, chetzio el mul har grizim, v'chetzio el mul har eval. Half of them towards har grizim, half of them facing towards har eval, kasher tziva Moshe eved Hashem, as Moshe eved Hashem. Those who joined after the initial shiurim may want to go back and hear the original classes where we talked a little bit about this title, Moshe eved Hashem, which is being emphasized here. But as Moshe eved Hashem instructed, levarech es ha'am Yisrael barishona, to bless the Jewish people right at the outset, meaning, as Rashi says, blessings before curses. Okay. There's only one catch in this. You're saying that they're standing opposite the Kohanim and the Levim. The problem is that Shevet Levi is actually supposed to be one of the Shvatim on top of the mountains. Remember we say back in the Chumash that the Shvatim are split, half of them are on Har Grizim, and half of them are on Har Eval, and Levi is enumerated as one of those that's on top of the mountain. So how are they now down below with the elders by the Aron? So the Gemara in Sota offers us multiple explanations. Sota Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is the one who raises the challenge. He says, I don't understand. Devarim chapter 27, sentence 12 said they're on top of a mountain. But on the other hand, here it seems to say they are below. And in fact, within Devarim itself, in Devarim chapter 27 itself, the language is ambiguous. I'm just going to open up a Chumash. Hang on just a second. We're already past the 10-minute mark, so I don't want to take too many more seconds for it. But there we go. In Devarim Chav Zayin Yud Aleph, 27:11, not 27, 27, 12. It said the following are going to stand for the bracha on Har Gerizim, and it listed Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. So that seems fairly clear. On the other hand, back in sentence 9, Moshe, by the Ber Moshe, Va'kohanim ha'Leviim, I'll call Yisrael, Moshe and Leviim speak to the Jews to give this command. And it sounds like they are part of the presenters, like it does in the text in Yehoshua itself, right here in our passage. So the Gemara gives three answers. The first answer is that the older Kohanim and Leviim are below, and the rest of them went up on the mountain. Rabbi Yoshia says something similar in the sense that he's splitting the Shevet Levi. He says those who are suited to serve in the Mishkan, they're below, and the rest of them are above. Rabbi Yudah Anasi says no. He says no, they're all below. They're all below. The Leviim are all below. And not only Leviim, but everybody are below. There are no Shvatim on top of Har Grizim and Har Eval. He says they simply turn to Har Grizim and they give a bracha, they turn to Har Eval and they give a klala, they give a curse. And what does it mean when it says they stand on? On means next to. On doesn't actually mean on. That's why the Rebbe explains it. There's one more answer found in the Yerushalmi, in Sota Zayin Dalid, which says that Levi is indeed above, and below is the Kohanim. When it says HaKohanim HaLeviim, it means just the Kohanim, which is an idea that we saw earlier in Sefer Yehoshua as well. So lots of different answers to explain where Levi stood, and possibly where everybody stood. That brings us to the last two sentences in the chapter. After this, he, which we understand to mean Yehoshua, read out all of the words of the Torah, the blessing and the curse, everything that is recorded in the Torah. Okay, and then we're told, there was nothing from all that Moshe commanded that Yehoshua did not read before the Jews as a whole, v'hanashim v'hataf, the women and the children, v'hager ha'lich b'kirbam, and the ger who went in their midst. And now I'll ask the question that we already anticipated a little bit earlier when we said the gerim. We mentioned the gerim, and I said to you that a ger is usually a ger toshav, a non-Jew who has committed to keep the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So who are we talking about? So Radak says, people who joined the Jews during their travels. That's what we're talking about. There were people who joined the Jews during their travels. Okay, so the people are now unified behind Yehoshua. Yehoshua is established as their military and religious leader. God is on their side. They've reaccepted the covenant. And we're going to have to pick up from here with one last note on this chapter, and then starting on chapter 9, God willing, tomorrow.